When I talked to the leaders about this, and we talked about what series I might do in the fall, I suggested, why don't we do a series on the church? And let's look at the New Testament church. Let's look at how it began. Let's look at some key components to it and talk about how all of those things apply to our lives today. So we are starting a new series. Let's bring this up. It's called God's Fix for Society. How's that for a title for a series? God does have a fix for our society. It's as if we have been created, but He just didn't leave us at that point. He has a plan. He has an outline for us. He didn't leave us just to wander aimlessly. Sometimes we feel that way, but He does have a plan. Today we're going to, as we look at the title today, an overview of the church. We're going to look at what is involved in the book of Acts, the overview of the church. What we're going to do is just look at one key verse that tells us and gives us an overview, and in the process of that I'm going to talk to you about some of the messages. I'm going to ask you some questions about the church and see how we do in terms of just being able to understand God's fix for society, His fix for society. Next week, we'll talk about three key parts to that. But today, the church is God's idea. It's His plan. It's His program. It's a little different from the Old Testament in the way we worship. Praise God for that. As I've said, as your pastor, I couldn't handle sacrificing things and all of that. I'm just not good at that. We don't do that. So something has changed. Well, God's plan has not changed, but His program has, primarily with Israel in the Old Testament. Then an amazing thing happened when we got to the book of Ephesians recently, and we saw the grafting in of Gentiles. And you and I, if you're not Jewish, you are a Gentile. The grafting in. And we are a part of God's plan. And so His plan, as it has unfolded for now over 2,000 years, is to establish His church. Well, we're going to look at the beginning of that. We're going to look at some basic parts of it, and we're going to apply it to our lives. So, overview of the church, Acts, it's on page 770, although today all the verses will be projected. Next week, we'll start through chapter 1 and go verse by verse. But for today, we'll just go ahead and look at these verses as they're presented for us. Let's go to, I believe the next thing is the first couple of verses, Acts 1:1. And let's just talk about this. In my former book, well, the former book, who are we talking about? Who is the author of Acts? The author of Acts is Dr. Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Dr. Luke wrote Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And so we have a detailed account. It's interesting with Luke, as we go through the book of Acts, when Paul went on missionary journeys and he came back, Dr. Luke actually took care of Paul as he recovered and from all the things that he got on missionary journeys and all the things that missionaries have to deal with, but Dr. Luke was his physician. Theophilus, in my former book, Theophilus is a Gentile who became a believer, who, having heard the good news about Jesus Christ, became a believer. And so Dr. Luke is writing not only for us today, but also for a friend of his, a co-worker with him, Theophilus. In my former book, The Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote all about Jesus began, all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And if you've been through the book of Luke, Dr. Luke was very detailed about his descriptions in the life of Jesus Christ. And now, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he continues on with the book of Acts. Let's look at verse 2. Until the day he was taken up to heaven. Until the day he was taken up to heaven, and we're going to see that in this first chapter, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. Okay, so Jesus Christ, he recorded the events of his life. He then was crucified, rose again, and then was taken up to heaven. But before he was taken up, he gave instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. And so this gives us, just in these first two verses, just a overview of what is going on, who the author is, and what is going to take place. Okay, so Acts then is the beginning of the church, God's plan. Then the book of Acts is a bridge from Christ to the beginning of the church. There's a bridge here that takes place. The church does not immediately begin, but begins, as we will see in Acts chapter 2. The church will begin. Acts is a bridge then from Christ to the beginning of the church. God's plan after Jesus Christ left is to have his church, to plant churches, to grow churches. Churches are to do his work. Now we have a number of fine organizations that do many, many good things. Praise God for that. My background is with an organization my parents were with that do great work. Aaron and Anna are working with Wycliffe. My wife grew up as a Wycliffe missionary kid. So there are a great many organizations that are doing fantastic work, but make no mistake about it, God's plan is to use his church and to use it to reach the ends of the earth. Okay, now, second thought on here is it covers 30 years. So we're going to look at 30 years of time. We're not going to go through all of these chapters. I'll show you that in just a minute. But it covers 30 years from 30 to 60 A.D., 30 to 60 A.D., approximately. It gives that period of time. So just so you have some idea of what this book is all about, what Acts is all about. All right, this is not on the overhead. It's not on that. I'm going to do just a couple of things here with you. So you can flip your page over, or you can go down the margin on the side. Let me give you key parts to the book. Okay, so if you have your Bible, key parts to the book. I'm just going to take a couple minutes and do this. I think this is important. All right, the first key part, and again, it's not on your outline, Holy Spirit given. Just put it somewhere. You've got room there. Holy Spirit given. What do you mean the Holy Spirit's given? Well, the Holy Spirit has always been there. We know from the Old Testament when David caught in sin, confessed to God, he said, "Take not your spirit from me." In that amazing psalm that he wrote. Well, the Holy Spirit was in the Old Testament. The ministry was a little different, but clearly there. Now, when we begin in, as we are here, the church age, the Holy Spirit is going to be given permanently to indwell believers. And that is a very, very significant event that takes place. Acts chapter 2, I'm reading just the first couple of verses. I think page 770 is Acts chapter 1, so the blue Bibles. Next page. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. I'm in chapter 2, verse 2. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The apostles were together. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. Must have been an amazing scene. When we get to this, I'll describe some of this. You know, you can kind of picture this. Well, I'll give you a description of it and see what you do with it. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. All right, so we see this is a significant event, this whole giving of tongues, and that when we get to chapter 2, we're going to talk about that. Well, wait a minute. If the New Testament believers experience that, shouldn't I experience tongues? That's a good question. I've never spoken, as far as I know, in tongues. Does that mean that I'm missing something? What are you laughing at? I do speak a little Spanish, but some people would debate that. I've never spoken in tongues. Should I? Am I missing out on something? Some people tell you that I'm missing out on something because I haven't spoken in tongues. And do I really have the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit here was given. Pastor Dave, you haven't spoken in tongues. Are you missing out on something in the Christian life? It's not a bad question. How do we answer that question? You'll have to see in 2 weeks. We'll talk about that. Am I missing out on something in my spiritual walk because I haven't? Better question than that. Should every Christian speak in tongues? The giving of tongues. There was a specific reason and purpose for this. Okay, that's one key event. Now, in that same chapter, turn the next page and drop down to about verse 38. What happens is Peter gets up and explains what has just happened. We're not going to go through that. And there's a large audience, and they're listening to the message, and the message is just basically this: Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, died, rose again, and in doing that, he is the answer for mankind. He is the solution. He paid for our sins. Then they said, verse 37, what shall we do? Verse 38, I'm in 238. Peter said to them, repent, and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Look at verse 40. And many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41, those who gladly received his word were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Acts 2, the church begins. First thing in Acts 2, Holy Spirit given, dropping down to about verse 40, 42, church begins. The thinking is this: when the baptism of the Holy Spirit came, and believers then were permanently given the Holy Spirit, you do not lose the Holy Spirit at this point. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can sin. I can sin. We all will struggle with these things, but you don't lose the Holy Spirit. And what's happening in the church age is we are now in this 2,000 years. The next event in history is an event called the rapture of the church. The rapture means to be caught up or taken. 1 Thessalonians 4. And what happens is the church is in existence right now. When the rapture happens, the church is taken out. We, if we are alive then, will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and the church is taken out. The Holy Spirit is taken out, too, of the world. Then it enters into what is called the tribulation and the great tribulation. The church begins in Acts chapter 2. This church historically believes that, has stood for this, and the documents that I've looked at and in reading our doctrinal statement, this church believes that. So, in Acts, we have the Holy Spirit given. We have, later in that chapter, the church begins. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13. This is a third significant event. Just giving you a couple of events here, and then we'll come back to some questions. But chapter 13, just like this morning almost, chapter 13. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Man, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And having fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The third key event in the book of Acts is missions, world missions. So you have Holy Spirit given, church begins, and world missions in Acts 13. They left and they traveled on the first great missionary journeys. There are four missionary journeys in the book of Acts. And they go and do the work of church planting and evangelism. Many things that they do. Now, what's very interesting on this first missionary journey is they go and they travel north and they come to some places called Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. It's in modern-day Turkey. When I was back in seminary, we ended up traveling through there in vans. And in fact, we had a wreck out in the middle of this area where these particular cities were. And I'll never forget sitting on the side of the road in Turkey. If you can imagine this, of four vehicles, I was the only one that knew anything about mechanics. So this is still one of my favorite stories. I go to the one guy that can speak German in our group. We had 27 of us. And I said, look, we're going to have to get towed. But I don't speak any of these languages. I have enough trouble in English. And so he said, I can do something. So he walks over to some people that were observing our vehicle that was broken. And I've told the story, but it's worth repeating. He walked over there. I'm expecting some eloquent presentation of what's happening. And he points to the van that's broken and says, Das ist kaputt. And I said, look, I could do that good. He said, well, you didn't. And a watermelon truck towed us. We look like the Beverly Hillbillies. I mean, there's people walking, there's people riding. It didn't go, the watermelon truck didn't go very fast. And so they pulled us into a town, but I'll never forget that first missionary journey. Missions, the heart of God. Half the book of Acts is about missions. It's about missionaries going. I still chuckle about that story. All right, those are three key parts. All right, let's go back to your outline. Our key verse. There we go, our key verse. There's a number of ways to divide the book of Acts, but when you kind of get a little handle on it here, it helps. And, oh goodness. That was one of four wrecks that we had. I can't let it go. That was one of four wrecks that we had. We looked like Das ist kaputt by the time we got back to Brussels, Belgium after that trip. It was an amazing trip, going through and following some of those missionary journeys, visiting the seven churches, as well as other places. Amazing trip. 1981, it cost me $1,800 to go, and I know airfare was $1,200. We all had sleeping bags. We did not get hotels. We slept in some of the strangest places I have ever slept in my life. And what you would do, you'd go to a campground, you'd put one tent up, but with 27 of us, most of them would be in sleeping bags all around. We came into the ancient city of Thessaloniki, which is Thessalonica, where Thessalonians was written. We got in at 1 o'clock, and it was just way too late. We were all tired, so we found a grassy area, and we just, you know, the guys would just lay here and the ladies over here. I have never awakened. Now, we didn't have an accident that time, praise God, but I woke up and there were goats walking right between our sleeping bags. And what we found out is we were on the main road to market going into the town. There were goats, dogs, cows. And so can you imagine a bunch of Americans waking up and sitting up in your sleeping bag? And there's all these animals and chickens and all kinds of stuff walking through. No wonder I am as I am. So that explains a lot, doesn't it, as to what happened. Anyway, that was an amazing trip, and I learned more. When we would go to different cities and places, each one of us had a little report we would give, and you would read it. Mars Hill, when we were in Greece. And other places. So just amazing opportunity to go and do that. Our key verse is Acts 1:8. Okay, I think you've got three lines there. You're going to have to put some information on it. The first point is this. But I think, does it give me Acts 1:8? Let's go ahead and do that. John, is that next, the verse? There we go. Let's say this verse together, okay? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is our key verse. This is one way to divide the book of Acts, and this is kind of the example that I am following. So, when we talk about this, it gives us Jerusalem as one part of this book, Judea and Samaria as a part, and the ends of the earth. So let's see how all that fits together. Okay, on your outline now, the church in Jerusalem, on this line, all that yellow has to get on that line. Okay, the church in Jerusalem, 2 years, chapters 1 through 7. Jerusalem, 2 years, chapters 1 through 7. That's where we're going till Christmas. I have 12 messages in this series, 7 chapters, 12 messages. This will take us up to Christmas Sunday. It's a warning. If you don't have your gifts yet, start now. There you go. We try and help you out. Do your Christmas shopping early, Todd. All right, the church. The church in Jerusalem, 2 years, chapters 1 through 7. That's what we're going to start with. That's what this series is about. This is called God's Fix for Society. Okay, next line. The church in Judea and Samaria, 13 years, chapters 8 through 12. Judea and Samaria, 13 years, chapters 8 through 12. That will be another series at another time. Okay? And the final way to divide this book is the church sends missionaries, 15 years, chapters 13 through 28. Chapters 13 through 28, and we just saw a little bit of that. All right, so this is one way to divide this book and to understand it and to get a better handle on it, and that's one of the things that we want to do. Okay, next little box on your outline is, let's look at Acts 1:8, and I think I have it up here again. Let's go ahead and bring it up. Here we go. I want to point out a couple of things. The Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and two. So I want you to circle you, and two. On your outline, those three statements that are in that bottom box, circle you, and two. All right, so this is a very personal thing. It's a personal message to us that we are to do and that we are to be a part of. Okay, first statement then. Here we go, John. You will receive power. You will receive power. This is the Holy Spirit given at salvation. Again, this church historically believes and embraces the position that faith alone in Christ alone saves you. Nothing more, nothing less. You are saved. At the point you are saved, you are given the Holy Spirit. A key verse for that is Ephesians 1:13. A key verse for that is Ephesians 1:13, talking about hearing, believing, and being sealed. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Okay, when I first received the Holy Spirit, the date, and the reason I'm going to mention this, September 24th, which is this week, we will have the 24th. The year was 1967. I was 9. I can't remember that far back now. I was 9 years old. The pastor talked about, and I remember him pointing down and saying, do you know if you were to die where you would go today? And he's pointing right at me. And he scared the hell out of me. I don't know how else to say it. I can say it better than that. But that's what he did. I remember coming, receiving Christ September 24th, 1967, praying with that pastor in his office. That's when I can remember. Later that evening, I got baptized. Separate act. It's part of obedience. It had nothing to do with saving me. The baptism was a step of obedience. Faith in Christ, September 24th, 1967, probably right around noon. Baptism at 6 o'clock that night as an act of obedience. But I received the Holy Spirit on that day. And He has been here through the good the bad and the ugly of Dave Metzger's life. And he is with you through the good, the bad, and the ugly. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You have the Holy Spirit. You have that power. Second statement here. You will be my witnesses. It's you and me to do this ministry. It's not angels. It's not other folk. It's you and me. Again, very personal. You receive power. You be my witnesses. I'm going to give you a couple of quick little ways to present the gospel. Just on the side again, I've done this a number of times with you folks. John 3:16. Just write down John 3:16. For God so loved the world, make that point, that he gave what? His only Son. God loves you. He sent his Son that whoever, right? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. There it is. That's one way to share the God, the simplest verse in the world. Let me give you another one. This is another way. Romans Road, Romans 3:23. For how many have sinned? All have sinned. That includes me. If I were to ask you if you were a sinner, what would you say? All right, that's as diplomatically as you can ask that question. All right, Romans 6:23. For the what? Wages of sin is death. At death, spirit separates from our body, our soul. The real part of us goes somewhere else. It goes to be with the Lord or it goes to be apart from the Lord. All the bad news. Good news, next verse, Romans 5:8. This is a variation of the Romans Road. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 5:8, but, I love that conjunction, right? But God so loved the world that he gave his Son. In contrast to all this other stuff, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now back to John 3:16. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were sinners, who died for us? Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Last Romans verse, Romans 10:9. If you believe with your mouth, confess. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be. Amen. Amen. Simple gospel message. You are my witnesses. You use God's word, but you also use your testimony. You have a testimony for salvation, which I just told you. But I also have a testimony of less than a month ago when I was in Colorado Springs where I had an experience, nothing strange. I shared this with Celebrate Recovery because I was speaking that night. Nothing strange or doo-doo-doo-doo, nothing like that. The pastor of the church where my brother attends, about, I think there are 5,000 in that service, was talking about coming forward and just making a rededication. I was saved. Those people coming down were saved. But just rededicating themselves in a number of ways to God. It could have been for your walk with God, your walk with your spouse, you know, any number of things. And I felt moved by the Holy Spirit, so I go down to the front. And I don't do that. Very often I don't. And I was saved, but I am rededicating myself. So I go down to the front, and I am praying with some other people. One guy down there was just, they also talked about coming down to just have others pray for you to be healed. Sure, God can do that. And so we prayed together. Then all of a sudden I'm standing there and I turn around and the pastor who had delivered the message came down and stood right in front of me. Who would have thought of 5,000 people in 3 services that day, he's standing right in front of me. I introduce myself to him, tell him why I'm down there, and he starts crying. I said, usually I'm the one that cries, but he starts crying because he said, I've been there, I understand, puts his hands on me, and here I am. There's 5,000 people there, it's just he and I talking. It was an amazing moment just for me. Rededication. You have a testimony not only for salvation, but you have rededication, and that testimony can be so powerful. Who did I hear? I heard Regina give her testimony of faith in Christ. And we have a dear sister in the Lord who has been through things, and it's just so humbling. I'm sitting, I'm on the back row. This time I am crying, but the lights are down because nobody can see me. I was moved at what she has been through, what she continues to go through. And others, I've heard. You have a testimony that's very powerful. God expects you to use it to be witnesses for Him. Finally, to the ends of the earth. Last statement there, John. There we go. To the ends of the earth. That means we go local. We do harvest party local. We do other things in the community, but we also, we have Aaron and Anna going back almost to the ends of the earth. We've been to Russia, Georgia. We've been all kinds of missionaries here. The ends of the earth. That's why I feel very strongly about this. You as a believer, you need to do Jerusalem. You need to do Judea and Samaria, and you need to do ends of the earth if you want to literally fulfill this. I feel very strongly about this. That's why I do this, and that's why I take people. Desardops, Russia, is the ends of the earth. I don't think I could have gotten any farther away. Fulfill this, literally. I feel very strongly about that, because the book of Acts teaches it. Where we are going in this series, starting in chapter 1 next week, we're going to look at God's revolution. We always think of everybody having a revolution. Well, God has a revolution. There are three key components in this, beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 1. We're going to look at who He uses and what He uses for His revolution. And it's all about you and me. It just is. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to just get a better handle, maybe on a very important book in your word for us.